Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let's turn together to Exodus chapter 15. I will read from verse 1 to 12, though our message is on those verses, verse 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 15, we're reading from verse 1 to 12. Title of the message, The Song of Israel, the People of God. The Song of Israel, the People of God. And it reads as following. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he has cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sank in the Red Sea. The flood covered them. They went down into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like a stable. At the blast of your nostril, the waters piled up. The flood stood up in a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like a lead in the mighty waters. Who's like the Lord, O Lord among the gods? Who is like you, majesty in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? You stretch out your hand, the earth swallowed them. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We have just entered into a new year, friends, but definitely some of the memories of the previous year are still fresh in our minds. Most of us are at risk of bringing through the failures of the past. We are at risk of not counting our blessing regardless of the unknown future before us. We are at risk of forgetting what the Lord has done. His grace and mercy towards us. The victories he has given us. That is why, friends, we need to begin this year with a song of praise, reminding ourselves of the goodness and the work of God in our lives, and never forget what the Lord has done. Never forget the past. Before us is the first recorded song of praise and thanksgiving in the Bible, a song which describes God as Israel's defender, a song which shows inward gratitude because of the clear evidence of the Lord's arm against his enemies, delivering his people by the means of the Red Sea. A song which reminds us that God keeps covenant, a covenant he had made with Abraham, saying that he will bless him and his offspring. He will take out his offspring out of the land of slavery, out of the land of oppression, and give them a new land. A covenant keeping God. Now they sing a song immediately after Egypt. A song immediately after a difficult time. A song which says, I was in darkness, but now I'm in the light of God. I do not have a pleasant past perhaps, but I have a glorious future because my God is a deliverer. So this is a song about the mighty deeds of the Lord, friends. The people are singing of the sovereignty of God. They have seen the power of God and they are singing out aloud. They want the whole world to know Moses is recording this so that we may know of the sovereignty of God. That God sits enthroned above. He is marvelous. He is God above all the gods. All the challenges and the problems of the past, He has thrown into the sea. That is the song before us. So friends, we have a reason to look back and sing a song of praise as we begin a new year. Firstly, because our God is a matchless God. That is the first thing you need to realize. Our God is a matchless God. He cannot be compared. No one can run a race with Him, equal or win Him. Actually, no one can run a race and follow Him. Before you even start, He has finished. He is a matchless God. Verse 1 says, then Moses and the people of God, or the people of Israel, sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. The most sweet thing to begin with when you begin your day, when you begin your year, when you begin whatever you want to begin, the sweetest thing to do is to begin with praise. And that is what we see here. They begin with praise. What's around this song are words of praise, are words of thanksgiving to the Lord. They want to begin this with a bang, beginning this looking unto God, beginning this by lifting up their hearts unto the God who sits enthroned above. Because there is no God like our God. No one can compare. Even the greatest men of this world, the greatest men of this universe put together, the most popular people, the most known people and powerful people of this world put together, they cannot compare to this God. Even the mightiest armies of this world in their glory cannot compare to our God. He is a matchless God. And the Israelites realized that. The Egyptians felt that. It says in verse number 10, you blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead into mighty, mighty waters. So from the bottom of their heart, they sing a song to God. They sing in an acknowledgement that the Lord is gloriously glorious. Our God is praiseworthy. That is what we see as we begin the new year. That is what we see as the people of Israel begins, if you will, a new journey into a new land. He is a praiseworthy God. They look back at the stressful time behind them. They cannot but praise God. They cannot but admit that all that they are, it is because of God. They will not have been what they are. They will not have been where they are if it was not for God. They are now smelling a fresh start or a new beginning, if you will, because God Himself, He rose up in the waters and swallowed their enemies. A picture there of the cross of Christ. For there, the Lord Himself lifted Himself up at that cross. On that cross, He triumphed over His enemies, the Bible tells us. The Apostle Paul writes, actually, very beautiful words, reminding us of what Christ has done on the cross. He says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. He didn't ask anybody to help Him. He triumphed over His enemies. His enemies are our enemies. So the people are singing of the past, yet they are looking forward to a glorious time, because the Lord, our God, is a matchless God. They know that He has done that mighty deed. He is able to do more greater things even in the future. It is true, friends. After each and every milestone, we must be reminded of the greatness of God. We must be reminded of His power and presence in our lives. His power and presence in every situation we find ourselves in. In that way, then we embark on a fresh journey with praise. We begin a new year or a new anything with praise, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Because, friends, to praise God is to be glad and joyful for who He is and what He has done. Regardless of the negativity of the past, regardless of the things that we can still think of, but God is a praiseworthy God, for He is a matchless God. So they rejoice in the Lord. There is something of positive attitude towards the days ahead. Regardless of the past, regardless of the negativity, how they lived, how they were oppressed in Egypt, but there is something in their mind of a positive attitude. They're looking forward to a fresh start. Why? Because they've got God on their side. They don't begin alone, they begin with God. They were not walking alone, they were not moving alone, they were moving with God. They have something of a positive attitude because of the greatness of God over the days behind them. The Israelites, they look back, they don't see their enemies behind them anymore. And they know they have not done anything to see themselves beyond the river. Imagine you don't see your enemies, but we have not done anything. We have not put any effort to do anything about it. Because even if you did put effort, there was nothing that you could do about it. So they look back. They remember the thousands and thousands of soldiers and the thousands and thousands of riders and everything that was coming. The arsenal of Egypt. They look back. They don't see. But what do they see? They recognize that God alone must have thrown them or overthrown their enemies. That's what they recognize. This is the work of God. He delivered them. So instead of celebrating themselves, they lift up their voices up to God. Instead of celebrating themselves, they make their praises and adoration publicly. We have a God who sits enthroned. He is worthy of praise. And friends, we should do the same. The world around us must know of the wonderful things we have achieved because of the sovereign power of our God. They must know that maybe it was a difficult past or a difficult year, regardless of what it is, but we have a God who is a matchless God. So the enemy has tried his best. If you put this thing in its context, he has tried his best. He has tried to sink these people. As we look at this, we picture ourselves. The enemy has tried his best. He has tried to sink us back to sin. He has tried to cause us to lose heart. He has tried to discourage us along the way. But our God is a matchless God. He has set us free in Christ. We look at the past and we know it is the past. Yet, it may be following us and chasing us so close. Remember when they were running? Yes, it's the past, but there were people chasing us. The past can be chasing so close. But friends, we have a God, a matchless God, the Son of God. The past may be chasing us so close, but it is the past. Maybe you still remember, as I was saying in the beginning, things of the past, they're still fresh in your nostrils. They are the things of the past. So praise the Lord. We praise Him because we acknowledge that the past is the past and He has taken us out of the past. Therefore we strive not to go back to the past. We remember the suffering of the past. We remember the pain of sin and oppression in the past. We remember the trauma of being under the tyranny of Satan. We remember the trauma of being controlled by Pharaoh, if you will, the Satan of this world. We remember the foolishness of listening to our friends against the advices and the counsel of our parents. We remember the foolishness of listening to gossip rather than the truth of God. We remember because our God is a matchless God. He has delivered us. Now we sing Him, we sing Him praises. And friends, when God
Whenever God does something so great, such great delivery, when God does something so great, He deserves our praise. We can remember when God sends His Son into this world, all those joyous songs that the angels sang in Luke chapter number 2. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth unto those in whom He is pleased. Jubilee, jubilee, jubilee. The Lord has overcome. His Son has come into the world to give a people a fresh start. To make sure that the people who deserve the hell that God has prepared for the devil and his angels, that those people may be taken through from the dangers of sin unto the marvelous light of God. When God does such a marvelous thing, He deserves our praise. But not only has He drowned the enemy, I want you to realize that. Not only has He drowned the enemy, friends, He has paralyzed the means to our destruction. That is why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. What He will do? With the temptation, He will also provide the way to escape, that you may be able to enjoy it. Not only did He overthrow the enemy, but the means that the enemy was using, the chariots, all the strength that there is, He also paralyzed. He has thrown into the sea. Why? Why do we rejoice? Because we have Christ in us. His Spirit lives in us. We have put on Christ. We have forsaken the ways of the world. We are no longer running after sin. We have sin running after us. That's the difference. Because when we were in the world, we were running after sin. Now that we're in Christ, sin is running after us. But someone is going to take care of it. As the Lord drowned the enemy, our sin is also under his power. He will bring us out. He will protect us that the sin does not bring us down to shame. Because our God is a merciless God. He lifts His people up and He gives them a reason to rejoice regardless of the unknown future ahead. He is a praiseworthy God. We need to take that with us as we begin the year. Secondly, God is our strength and salvation. Verses 2 and 3. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Our God is our God of strength and our salvation. So friends, the people were singing. They were singing, anticipating a bright future because of their deliverance. They had a burning song within their hearts. They have a testimony of both the strength and the salvation of God. They confess that in their weakness, God responded with an overwhelming power over their enemies. Now they proclaim His mighty power. The power that cannot be experienced in this world unless we are with God. The power that can only bring people out of danger into safety. The strength of the Lord is now what they sing about. The power that can only be experienced during a battle, my friend. And that is true. It is a true reflection of our own situation even today. We are in a battle, friends. We may act like we are not in a battle, but we are in a battle. We battle against sin. We battle against the world and the ways of the world, the systems of the world, the people of the world. But take heed. Our war is not a war that we fight with flesh and blood. Our war is not against flesh and blood. Therefore, we need God in this battle because He is our strength and our salvation. Why is this important? Beautiful. Because the strength of the Lord scares or bring fear to our enemies. Remember how the enemies perceived, how they thought, how they spoke of the Israelites after this journey, when they went to the land of the Amorites and the Amalekites, all that they could speak about is not the Israel. They say, remember their God who drowned the Egyptians. So the strength of the Lord caused our enemies to tremble. That is our advantage. As long as the people knows the strength of the Lord, they will tremble, my friends. And they can only see the strength of the Lord if we live like people who are victorious even in this year. And they continue to say then, in verse number 2, He has become my salvation. He was not always my salvation. He has become my salvation. He was not always my friend. He has become my friend. I have a reason to praise this God. They sing of the salvation out of danger or the possibility of death during a battle. That is the salvation they're singing about. Not necessarily the salvation from sin. These people are not all of them are saved from sin. But there's a picture here of the redemption that we have in Christ. They are singing of the salvation out of a battle, friend. But we are singing of the redemption that we find in Christ. Out of the battle that we battle in this world. The world of sin. The world of hypocrisy and confusion. We have that picture before us. Because salvation, friends, brings with it an absence of the fear of God, but also an absence of the fear of the world. We now do not fear God's wrath, we fear God in terms of reverence. But we no longer fear the world in terms of fear and trembling. Because salvation brings us out of fear. That is why the Bible says, if the Son sets you free, you can set him free from the sleep too. If the Son set you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son, brother, set you free, you shall be free indeed. They sing of the salvation of God. Remember last night? Not long. Maybe, let me say midnight. Few minutes into this year. Many people are celebrating the new year. And that is okay. We all love to celebrate the new year. But unless we rejoice in salvation as the people rejoice in salvation, unless our hearts are lifted up in the glory of God, in the praise of our Savior, for the cross of Christ, unless we have done that, we know nothing of freedom. We know nothing of true happiness. So we need to remember the dark dangers of sin behind, in which the Lord has pulled us out of. We need to remember the slavery of Egypt, the power of sin and the slavery of sin under the tyranny of Satan. Satan being our slave master. We need to remember the Lord who came and set us free. Then we can rejoice in the Lord. Unless that is the joy that fills your heart, you don't have joy. And if you don't have that joy, you have not seen the light. You have not seen the light. But not only do we rejoice in the past experience. Remember now, they're looking back. Not only do we rejoice in the past experience, friends. We rejoice in the future before us. As we begin the new year, we continue to rejoice regardless whether what is behind us, it was frustrating or it was fruitful. It doesn't matter. We have a future before us. These people did not know the way they were still going to take. They didn't know that there's still 40 years before them. Yet they rejoiced in the Lord as soon as they saw their deliverance. We rejoice not only because the Lord conquered the past, but because the Lord will conquer the future. We rejoice in the Lord. So as you embark in this new year's journey, let your mind be saturated to this truth that we find in these verses, that the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. So, look at this. Even though there was the enemy behind them and there was a sea before them, the people trusted in the Lord. But now, even though there was a sea before them and the enemies behind them, the Lord did not raise the armies of heaven to protect them. He should have just blew on them as it did blowing on the sea. No, he should have just blew on them. He did not. He did not. He wanted to show the people. He wanted even to show the enemy that is the mighty God. He did not call the armies of heaven to destroy their enemies. What did he do? This is most important. This is most precious. He took them through the most dangerous territory than the enemy behind. Remember, we may think the enemy behind was more dangerous. He took them through the most dangerous territory. He saved them from the waters of the sea on their way. Who is not afraid of drowning, friends? They saw the sea, but the Lord took them through the waters of the sea. He saved them. He saved them from the creepy creatures of the sea. The Lord saved them. Friends, let me tell you, God is sovereign. He is sovereign over the enemy chasing us. He is also sovereign over the dangers ahead of us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
He is sovereign over the enemy behind, and he is sovereign over the dangers ahead. He performed a great miracle. He opened the waters. The waters became like a huge wall around them. Then they walk on dry ground. Because the Lord is mighty in battles. They walk on dry ground, surrounded by a huge water wall of water everywhere. And that alone, friends, should bring a praiseworthy song to the Lord. It will lead you to a joyous singing. The question that I want to put upon you: will there be anything laying ahead of you, anything too difficult for the Lord to move away? If the Lord can open the sea, don't look at the enemy. Concentrate on the big sea. Is there anything so difficult for the Lord to do if we remove the mighty sea before his people? Remember, look at this in today's mind. There was no time to navigate the way. Today we use navigating system. We want to know whether we're not going to get lost. Where is the mountain? Where is this? We don't want to go the long route and whatever. We want to get there quicker. There was no time to navigate the way. Maybe there was going to be a mountain before them to slow them down. Yet a path was laid before them that they may walk in the light of the Lord. So it did not depend on their skills. It depended on the power of God. Because our God is our strength and salvation. He has dedicated himself in saving his people. In his providence, he provides a way. He provided a way. Regardless of what was coming behind, he provided a way before them. He is our strength and salvation. Has he not provided a way before us? Were we not on our way to hell and the Lord pulled us out of that way by the power of his might? When we were holding on to our sin, as it were, not wanting to let go, but God swiftly and tenderly spoke to us in his power and might, in his grace. Come to me, my child. Come to me and live. Leave away the things of the past. Cling to the old rugged cross. Be saved. Come experience my strength and my salvation. I am your God. The same God we're going to praise and see this year. Our strength and salvation. But thirdly, what we see in verses 4 to 6 is that God is our defender and protector. Not only is he matchless, but it does something literal to show that he does this thing also for us. Because he can be matchless just for himself, not to be compared to anyone else. But in his matchless power, he is our God who is a defender and protector. He does things for us, things that we need to see, the victories that we need to experience. It says God threw overthrown the horse and the rider into the sea. So when the enemies of God's people, persisted on taking on God's people. He struck them down. He struck them down without sparing any of them. And friend, that is what happens to those who plan and pursue to destroy God's people. The Bible says it was God who led them to destruction. It was God who led them to destruction, my friend. God used their evil plan to destroy them. Friends, they did not just cast themselves into the sea. It was not because they were not drowned because they followed Israel so close and then apparently the waters covered them. Humanly speaking, you may look at it that way. It looked in that way in the eyes of men that they were just drowned. Friends, the Bible says God cast them into the sea. God allowed them to follow their evil ways. And then they fell into the deep dark of hell. In the same way, the Lord says, those who continue in sin, pursue doing unrighteousness, one day He will let go of the Spirit. He will let go of that gracious Spirit who protects people from not sinning to God. He will let go and says, go through, let's see what we can do. He will give them over to their sin. But why? Let's see why. Context wise, this has been the theme developing through the book of Exodus. What the theme is that? God fighting for His people. He fights for His people against the world and worldly system. That is the theme that has been growing. He's doing all this thing for His people. In verse 6 speaks of the right hand of God, if you're looking. It speaks of the right hand of God. He shatters the enemy. That tells us that God's weapon, friend, is always ready against His enemy. God is always ready to triumph against His enemy and the enemies of His people. He manifests Himself in great acts of mercy towards His people. Imagine going through a new year knowing that God does everything in His power to destroy the enemy for your good, to protect and guide you, to defend you, because you are powerless against your enemy, but you've got a God who's powerful. So here you have a picture, friend. If the Bible used the word, He threw them or overthrown the enemy into the sea, let me tell you what does that mean, so that you may rejoice in this. We have a picture of a javelin thrown by God Himself in His mighty power. Just as an athlete will throw a javelin as far as humanly possible, here you've got the enemy of God, the enemy of God's people, thrown by God like a javelin into the sea. Imagine God throwing a javelin thrown as far as heavenly possible. That is what happened to the enemy. You've got a picture of God throwing a javelin, throwing something that athletes use to compete with, something that is worthless, but throwing so far into the depths of the sea. Imagine being thrown like that, my friend. There can be no way back. And that is why they sing this song. It is a complete victory. They were thrown into the sea. God defended and protected His people. In our defense and in our protection, God destroys the wicked. God throws the wicked as someone will throw a javelin. God throws as far as heavenly power is possible. In our defense, He destroys the wicked. Those who are hostile to His word, those who are hostile to His word, He will not change the way He deals with them. He will swallow them up in His wrath. He will throw them like someone throwing a javelin. But I think, friend, that also should sound the bell. It should sound the bell it should bring a warning unto us that we may also be careful on how we deal with this God. Be careful how you deal with this God. When the enemy went down into the water, God's people went up. Can you imagine? When the enemy was buried under the huge wave, God's people were taken up and they were lifted up high and high. They receive a fresh start, if you will. Spiritually speaking, we can remember that when the enemy, our enemy sin and Satan, were thrown down at Calvary, we were risen to reign with him. That's the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3 verse 1. We were risen with Christ. Yea, it says, beautiful words. Remember these words. The horse and his rider, he has thrown into the sea. The enemy and his weapon of mass destruction, the vehicle in which he used to inflict pain and sorrow and suffering, he has thrown into the sea. Colossians 2 verse 14 says, by cancelling the record of the debt that stood against us with its legal demand, the record and its legal demand, the enemy and the means by the enemy affect us, by cancelling these things, this is set aside, nailing it to the cross. Is set aside, nailing it to the cross. So we need to begin this new year with this encouragement, my friend. With God on our side, nothing can stand before us. We will work for him. We will serve him faithfully. We will obey his word. We will live his word. We will preach his word. We will obey Christ. We will unite with him and continue to be united with him. Remember what it says in verse number 3. If you look at verse 3, it says, he's a man of war. What does that tell you? He's warrior. No one can compare. He's a defender and protector of his people. So we don't fight our own fight. We don't fight for ourselves. The Israel experienced this, my friend. They didn't have to fight from the days behind this destruction. They remember that the Lord protects and fights for them. Remember the plagues in Egypt. Remember the death of the firstborn of the Egyptians. Now, friends, remember the Red Sea open and walking on dry ground. Remember the destruction of the thousands and thousands of soldiers and the riders, which are the soldiers, but the horses themselves. Remember these things. Remember these things. He's a man of war. Who is he fighting for? If he was fighting for himself, he was just going to cause slow death or quick death to the enemy. He's not fighting just for himself. He protects and fights for his people. He makes sure that you, as his people, may see that he fights for you. That's why he kept the enemy coming and coming, getting closer and closer. Just live by faith. Run by faith. God dealt with them so that you may know he protects and guides you. So friends, we see a picture of the enemy and his armies against God shattered. The enemy and his tactics against God's elect, they will all fall, my friends. They will all be destroyed by the sword of his mouth, the word of God. That is why in this church we will continue to hold firm to the word of God. Even in this year, we shall not be moved from preaching the word of God, because we will live by the word of God. We will trust God because of what he says through his word. As many pulpits out there peddle with the word of God, we will not peddle with the word of God. We will cherish the word of God. We will preach the word of God. We will rejoice in the word of God. Verse 10, he blew, and the sea. The Bible later on tells us that a sword will come out of his mouth, and he will blow, and he will cut down the enemy. The word of God. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Because friends, he is supreme over idols. He was supreme over the idols of Egypt. He is supreme over the idols of Olivet. He is supreme over the idols of your own life. He is a supreme God. We have left, friends, we have left the world behind us and its idols. Why? Because they are powerless to deliver us. The idols and the gods of this world, are powerless to deliver us from this present evil age. But there is a God who sits enthroned in heaven. The God who redeems his people from sin and the bondage of sin. A God who is in heaven. The one who sets his people free and gives them peace. We're moving on knowing that we have peace with God. So it doesn't matter whose armies will stand before his people. Remember, this was an army prepared, friends. It was prepared by the most dangerous, the most potent king in the world. This army was put together by Pharaoh himself. But it doesn't matter who puts up the army against God's people. Doesn't matter. They may be the finest soldiers the world has ever seen, but not against the arm of the Lord. That is why, friends, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, as God speaks to his people, do not trust the armies of Egypt. Do not trust the things of this world. Do not look back and draw strength from the world or the things of the world that you used to do. Look unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Why? Because the armies of Egypt may look strong, humanly speaking. They may look strong in the eyes of men. But at the end of the day, they are like grass in the hand of God. Soon and very soon, as they keep running like little children, trying to chase the mighty army of God, they'll be thrown into the fire. They will be burned, friends. They'll be thrown into the hells of fire. They will perish before God. But here is the sad truth, my friend. People who perish under the hand of God in this lifetime, as these Egyptians, it is not over with them. The Egyptians were buried under that grave of water. But that was not the end. The book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 13, it says, and the sea gave up the dead who were dead, those were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they have done. So the suffering that people suffer in this world because of sin, the fact that they perish under the hand of God right now, it is not over. There is a day that is coming where every man and woman and child will be risen and be judged, and a greater punishment shall come. So let us continue to pray, friend, for the mercies and grace of God. Those who steal our tent, those who torment us and do crazy things in this church, we must pray for the mercies of God. Because, friend, they will not only suffer now in this world, they will not suffer in this age, but also in the age to come. If we do not pray for them, if they do not come to faith, the message is very simple. Do not continue to stand against the God's people. Do not be God's enemy. You will be judged. Verse 5 says, they sank to the bottom of the sea like a stone. What does this tell you? Judgment is serious, my friends. Matthew 18, verse 6, it says, but whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, whoever put a stumbling block, if you will, upon the people of God, it would be better for him to have a great milestone fastened around his neck and to be thrown into the depths of the sea. It would be greater. The punishment is much better than to these people of Israel, the people of Egypt who were thrown into the sea, than the punishment that is coming upon those who continue to torment the people of God today. You study here knowing that God is angry. He's an angry God against his enemy. And he has judgment standing against his enemy. Yet, come to me, all you are heavy laden. Come to me, I'll give you rest, the rest of your soul. Let me conclude like this, my friend. Christian, have a song of victory. Enter the new year with a positive attitude. Know that God is on your side. Do not bring last year's negativity to this year. Occupy your mind and your heart with God's greatness. Through your journey in the wilderness of sin before you, the year before you, have God in your heart. Have a song of praise. Lift Him up. Sing to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. He has taken me from the past, from the dangers of sin, unto His marvelous light. He is a great God, a matchless God. God whose strength is mighty and His salvation is ours. If you believe then, if you believe that the Lord is your strength and your song and He has become your salvation, therefore, do not be intimidated by people. Do not be intimidated by the unknown future. Do not be intimidated. Do not fear your enemy. Remember the verse I just quoted now. The Lord is a man of war. He is warrior and we are His inheritance. He will let nothing of evil to come upon us unless He has a purpose with it. But when it is all being said and done, the horse and his rider, he shall throw into the sea. So rejoice in God's deliverance. Rejoice in God's deliverance. Praise Him, exalt Him, lift Him up, lift His holy name up. Have a joyous song in your heart. And if you have not experienced the wondrous power of Christ, take heed. The horse and his rider, He has thrown into the sea. If you have experienced the marvelous, powerful redemption of Christ, but you continue to live like a demon, behold, the horse and his rider, He has thrown into the sea. Rejoice in the Lord. He is a matchless God. His strength is our strength and our joy. He has given us salvation. He has become our salvation. He is our defender and protector towards His enemies, the horse and his rider. He has thrown into the sea. May the good God bless us. Let us continue to hold fast to His promises, to praise Him regardless of the negativity and the challenges of the past. The Lord bless. Amen.
We thank you, Lord, to know that indeed you are our strength, you have become our salvation. You are the one, O Lord, we can trust in, even as we look towards this new year, O Lord. You are the one who fights our battles. You are the one, O Lord, who destroys the enemy. So, Lord, may we then rejoice in you. May we then, O Lord, not walk in discouragement, not walk in defeat, O Lord, but have a song of victory in us, that even this year, O Lord, you will fight for us. Even this year, O Lord, you will be our strength. Even this year, O Lord, you will continue to be our salvation and will become salvation of many of the people of God. So may you continue, O Lord, to work amongst us. May we continue to give you praise and honor and to trust only in you. Be glorified, be magnified, O Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.